Second Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2. You know, Sunday morning we got in, I was preaching and I kind of strayed into a lot of these what I would call false prophets, these prosperity preachers, these people who are making merchandise out of people in the name of God, and they're gaining great wealth to themselves. And I was thinking of several of them, and I was making a list of different ones, thinking about different things that I'd seen or heard or different things that I'd picked up here or there. And I thought, what kind of people would do that? And, you know, many of them have been found out. I had my memory jogged by reading and run across this. The other day, I was either up early in the morning or late at night, and I saw one of them named Peter Popoff. And some of you may have seen him. And in the 80s, there was an undercover group that went in because he claimed to be able to have these audiences and pick out their disease and never talk to them, and yet he would pretend to heal them during their service. So these two guys went undercover, and they got one of their compadres to dress up as a woman. And so what they were doing is they'd send their staff out there, and the staff would ask them questions and prayer requests and all that. And so this guy that was a man dressed up as a woman said that he had uterine cancer. And so then what would happen is his staff would take the prayer request back in, and then his wife, he would wear a transmitter in his ear. Then his wife would transmit to him different ones out there, which one to pick, call upon, and what disease they were supposed to have, and he would pretend to do a healing. And of course, he called him out, and pretended to heal her uterine cancer. And later on, they took it on Johnny Carson and showed some video of him. And actually, after that, his donations went down. He filed bankruptcy. And now he's back in the early TV hours where he's trying to build himself back up, selling all kinds of oil, selling Jordan River water, selling handkerchiefs that he sweated over and prayed over and done who knows what to. And so anyway, it's all gimmicks. But what kind of man and what kind of people are these? People says, well, they seem to know some Bible. And tonight, I didn't want to dive back into it, but that's where the Lord led me tonight. And it may be to educate you, but it also may be to speak to someone out there. Because there's a couple things about these people. Number one, they're very dangerous because of their false doctrine that they teach. And they're very dangerous because of who they are. But they're also dangerous because of what they do to the people that follow them. They take them with them. And so that's why we feel compelled at times to speak out against them. I want you to stay with me a minute. And I just want to dab into a couple, and I want to use a couple phrases real quickly, but let's begin reading in chapter 2, and keep your Bibles open, chapter 2. We're going to be referring back to that. But in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Now, privately or privately, however you want to pronounce it, what it means is to secretly add in things, teachings that's off the wall teachings, but to do it secretly, little at a time, and just
get people and just work them into getting to a place where they believe their heresies. And says, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, I want you to notice that their motive is to make merchandise to you, but the motive is the covetousness. They want to get rich, possessions, things like that. And all these characters out there that's doing this, I mean, they're loading their pockets down, and they've got more money, and it's amazing what they could do with what they've got if they would really put it to use. But they have gotten it, and they've made merchandise of so many people. But notice in verse number one, the last part, that they bring upon them swift destruction. And verse 3, the damnation slumbered not. Now, all through this reading of these, we're going to find the judgment being warned against these people because of what they do. Look in verse 4. He reminds us, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live godly. Now, let me say something here. He uses three examples. And in Jude, we're going to see a couple more of these examples. The angels that God cast out, he sent them to a special place in hell called Tartarus. And it's the only place used we're going to find there in verse number 4, if you look. And that word's used only to speak where those angels are bound right now in chains of darkness. And the Bible says that they're reserved to judgment. Now, also in the old world, Noah was spared. But notice, if you think about it, notice percentages of how many people went to hell, even though Noah and some of his family, 8 total, was saved. Then in Lot, think of how many people were saved and how many went to hell out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now notice when God went into those places and when he turned judgment upon those places, they were now reprobates. When he turned judgment upon them, they had expired. Their time of repentance had expired. It was now the judgment of God falling upon them. But the Bible says in verse number 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, there's some people that can get in places in their life where they do things and say things and follow things that's not right. But God knows how to deliver his from those that are not his. Look in verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. Again, reminding of punishment coming. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of the uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these are as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. They have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. In other words, they prey upon the weak. They prey upon those unlearned. They prey upon those who are not very knowledgeable. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Notice that little word mist. That means the gloominess of the darkness, the dark of the darkness. And tonight, I'm preaching upon this thought. They're going to go to the hell of hells. But look, if you would, in verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than from the beginning. Now, a lot of people has trouble with this verse. They think that it's teaching that they come to a point of salvation and then they are lost again. And they are damned and going to go to hell even after they've been saved. That's not what it's teaching there. They have come to a knowledge, a head knowledge. They have come to what it takes to be saved. They come to know what God expects out of them. They come to know who Jesus is. And even though they know all these things, they want more than what Jesus can offer. And what they do is they pursue their own covetousness, and they begin to make merchandise out of people and begin to gain. Look, if you would, in verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed or wallowing in the mire. Now keep your finger there and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Jude just a moment. We pick Jude up again. We're going to pick in verse number 5. He's talking about apostates, those that leave the truth, those that have known the truth, but they leave the truth for other reasons. In verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, did you get that? And by the way, if you notice there, I've heard people talk about that the Bible in the New Testament never deals that it's wrong to be homosexual and wrong to go after strange flesh, men against men. But if you look right there, he makes it pretty clear that giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example suffering the vengeance of what? Eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. In other words, what their mind can bring about. And there's no limit to the evil and wickedness that their mind will bring in seducing people in the name of the Lord. They'll stop at nothing. The more they get, the deeper they'll go. The more they get, the more corrupt, defiled they'll go. Their minds, as brute beasts, they'll be working behind the scene. Some of them, as a matter of fact, you look in their eyes and you see evil in their eyes. And you think, why and how in the world can people blindly follow these people? But look on, if you would, in verse number 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for the reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And Korah was the one that rebelled against Moses and didn't want under the authority of Moses. Now, if you notice all these guys and women that plays these roles, notice they always have to have their own ministry. They have to have their ministry. They have to have control. They have to have authority of everything. They got to all say. For instance, here, as pastor here, we have a church. I work under the guidance and guidelines of the church by given by the New Testament. I don't have a reign just to be a king. I don't make all decisions. I don't spend your money. I don't count your money. I don't possess your money. I don't own your money. We have safeguards, people that the church has elected take care of those things. And so therefore, these people has a different way of doing things. They just, they have it where they build their own little empires, their own little ministries, because they're like Korah. They can't stand to be under submission to anyone, including the Lord. Amen. Look, if you would, in verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about with winds. Trees whose fruit wither, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved, now I want you to get this, the blackness of darkness forever. Not only reserve the darkness, they are reserved the blackness of the darkness of ever. They're going to go to the darkest parts of hell. And we'll get on that in just a moment. But let me say this. There's going to be a lot of people surprised about five things. Number one, the reality of hell. Hell is real. It has real people there. And eternity, the punishment is real. And so therefore the Bible tells us that there is a real place called hell. It's one of consciousness according to Luke chapter 16. Because chapter 16, Jesus gives us a glimpse into hell. Also give us an interview with someone that was in hell, where we got to hear someone that was suffering in the pains of hell, the rich man. And we saw the reality of what it's like to be there. We saw the torment that he was in. We saw the thirst that he was in. We saw, the Bible tells us in Matthew 8, of the darkness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the eternal separation. Luke 16, the memory that he still had of things upon the earth. And the misery. And on and on and on we could go. The second thing that's going to shock people is the amount of people in hell. The population there. People think, and boy, I tell you what, I've said this many times, everybody who dies anymore gets preached to heaven. But I tell you what, I don't know how many funerals, right in the midst of preaching of funerals, the people they're preaching and talking about walking on golden streets are crying out in pain in the pits of hell. The Bible makes it plain. The majority, the many, are going to die and go to hell. And people's going to be surprised how many people are actually in hell. They're also going to be surprised with people that thought they was going to go to heaven. I'm sure the rich man thought he had everything okay. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, it's going to be those that prophesied in his name, cast out devils, did many wonderful works. He said, I never knew you. Many of them, he said. I'm sure every one of them thinks they're going to go. And on and on, we could find many. And so therefore, what we need to realize, just like in Noah's day, few of them went to heaven, many of them went to hell. Lot's day, few escaped, many of them died and went to hell. The fourth thing is how quick they ended up there. Man, if Jesus comes, it's going to be terrible. When death happens, people are surprised how quick they wake up in hell. Immediately. And then they're going to be surprised the eternal existence of the damnation. No escape, no pardon, no hope. You never find anyone praying for hope. Look back, if you would, in 2 Peter, and I want to get into it a little bit. False prophets, they have underhanded methods. Now, you know people that schemes and brings other people involved in them, and they know that they're scheming people. They know that they're lying to people. They know that they're using a sleight of hand. They know that they're using and preying upon people's weaknesses, sicknesses, ignorance. You know they know what they're doing. They're not doing it. And about every one of them has been found out sooner or later, somewhere along the way. They've been proven, and yet many times people just continually blindly follow them. The second thing, their teachings. It sounds good to a normal ear, but to a trained ear, you begin to hear things. And finally, you realize that they're not pointing to the true God through Christ Jesus. They're pointing more to them than they are to anybody else. And they find ways of trying to picture God through them, not through Christ. And they use Christ just as a crutch. And again, we talked about the destruction of those that fell in it. Now, notice if you would, Peter said that they guide them by things that makes them feel good. And they exploit them for their advantage, using feigned words. The Bible says seducing spirits, speaking lies and hypocrisy. That's what I see a lot of our Congress doing. You know this, they're sitting there and they're lying out their teeth. They know exactly, and they're being hypocrites about what they're saying. Last time, they were on the other side of it, saying just the opposite. That's the way these false prophets do, too. They speak lies and hypocrisy. Now, if you notice in verse number 1, the Bible says that they always teach a false doctrine. It'll be more than Jesus. It'll be Jesus plus. They'll be sowing the seed and sending to them, building them up, denying the truth, filled with immorality, and you'll find that. They despise authority. They're arrogant, verse 10, rebellious. And verse 14, if you look again, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. They prey on weak people. They prey on them. Now, how can you tell when someone's a false prophet? Turn in a couple places with me real quickly. Look, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Every one of them that I've watched, and I don't watch them to enjoy them. I don't watch them to have them to feed my soul. I watch them have something to preach against. To understand how they're beguiling people. But every one of them I've heard make prophecies this year that did not come true. Look, if you would, in chapter 18, verse 21 of Deuteronomy. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is a thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Look on, if you would, in chapter 13 of Deuteronomy. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dream. And what he's saying here is this. They'll point you to other things, to worship other things. And so therefore, and you know, usually what they do is they, by the way, these false prophets are the forerunner of the real false prophet that's coming in Revelation chapter 13. You know what he does? He builds an image and requires all to bow down and worship him. You know what these guys are doing? Building an image of themselves And they're wanting everybody to bow down and worship them. And so when you watch them and you listen to them, it's amazing. Isaiah chapter 8 says that what we do is we look and we guide their words according to what the Word of God teaches. That's how we judge the message and we find it. And the Bible also says in Jeremiah 23 that they will turn people away from sin. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus was talking about in verse 15, you can tell a good tree by the fruit and what they bear. And of course, when Peter there is talking about them teaching heresies. What I want you to understand tonight is I want you to understand that Paul wrote about it in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, that even the devil, he pretends to be a minister of light. And so what is it that his ministers pretend to be? What people have found is they found that there's easy money. That's why all these people that comes around and they try to bum off the churches and they try to use the good nature of the churches to con money out of them. I get it all the time. And boy, it's not hard to tell. You can tell they're cons. Boy, they're fixed. The moment I do, if I drive that church van and pull up in a parking lot somewhere, I'll guarantee you, 3 out of 5 times, I'll have somebody walk up to me and ask for money. 3 out of 5 times. You know what they've done? They've learned how to make merchandise. Somebody said, well, I think we ought to just give them money. I don't. I think it's foolish to give God's money in that way. I think when we give something like that, we need to know there's a real need there. Now, these guys here, and I think it's foolish, someone send these guys money. I look at it this way. I see these million and billionaires on TV and Hollywood stars asking us to send $12, $19 a month. I thought, man, you got billions of dollars. Why don't you give them a little bit? Amen? And so what I don't have a problem with giving to good things that I know is a good cause. But my point is this. I think of them. They're begging all this money and all God's going to bless. And I'm thinking, you drive all them jet planes. You got houses all over the world, big mansions. I was reading one the other day. He had a $123 million a house, and then he had another and a $40-some million house, and this and a $10 million over here. He had about 5 or 6 of them. Yet every time he gets on there, he wants you to sow your seed. To him, by the way. I thought about writing him one time and tell him, listen, I've got a $10,000 seed I want to send, but is it okay if I just take it to church and sow it there? And just see their response, but I didn't do it because I felt kind of corrupt about it. But anyway, turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter real quickly. In 2 Peter. I'm sorry, not 2 Peter. I wanted you to go to Luke chapter 12. I don't know why I said 2 Peter. That's where my text was. Luke chapter 12. Now, if you notice in Romans chapter 1, we look at that a lot of times where it talks about reprobate. It talks about people that once knew God, and they glorified him not as God, and they rejected and turned from him. The dangerous thing about these people here is they have come, and you listen, when you hear people get up there and pretend to preach, and they know enough about preaching to fool people, then they have come to that knowledge. It's a head knowledge, it's not a heart knowledge. And that head knowledge has brought them far enough where they know what they need to do. But instead of surrendering to the Lord, they've surrendered to their own lust. And through that, they've learned how to make merchandise. And the Bible tells us here in Luke chapter Luke chapter 12. Look, if you would, in verse 46. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom a man have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now, when you go to heaven, now listen to me, there is no degrees in heaven. Everybody there is saved by the grace of God. Your works can earn you rewards, crowns, and ability to rule over cities, an ability to reign with Christ in elevated positions. But everybody there has the same degree of heaven, because we're all there by the grace of God, not by our own merits. None at all. In hell, it's different. In hell, you are there because of your sin, but also your own merits. But there is something else that also adds to you, and Jesus told some cities this. He said, "Woe unto you, Capernaum." He said, if the mighty works had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah that was done in you, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. And what he's teaching is this. The degree of punishment is going to come out of knowledge. You know why hell was prepared for the devil and his angels? The devil and his angels had firsthand knowledge of who God really was. And they chose to sin. And when they were sinned and they had the evidence and they knew God, their creator, for who he was, and when they sinned, they were cast out of heaven without a chance of repentance, and hell was prepared for them. Then God also prepared a way in which man, after he would be led to sin by Satan, could be saved. And everybody, whosoever will, can be saved. And everybody who is not saved will die and go to hell. But in hell, there will be different degrees of punishment. There will be different severities of the darkness and the flame and the fire. To whom much is given, much will be required. And many stripes will be put upon those people. And I'm going to tell you something. Next to the devil and his angels, it's going to be these fellows, these false prophets, that have sat down and they have pulled millions into hell with them, following blindly their ministries, praising and adoring them, thinking that through them they were getting to heaven, only to find out. And when they stand before God, they are going to burn in such degree. But you know what? Even though they know they got knowledge, they don't have any fear. You know why? It takes a reprobate to knowingly take advantage of people years after years after years. A reprobate is one. The same thing over in Romans chapter 1, when God gave them over to a reprobate mind, it was a mind that no longer had guilt in their sin. What were they doing? Women with women, men with men. What was that mean? We call it coming out of the closet, but it's worse than that. It's coming out of the closet, not having any guilt about what you're doing, and not having any shame, and no longer having the convicting of the Holy Ghost of God convict you that it is wrong. And you're turned over to reprobate mind. You know what that means? You're damned. And these people that can stand knowingly, this man brings his wife, and here his wife is dying with cancer. And this man knows that he has no power to heal that person. But yet what he wants to do is he wants to take this man in his vulnerable position of wanting to see his wife healed. And he wants to take her. He's willing to give because he loves his wife. He's willing to give whatever he's got. And this sorry, low down, false prophet catches him at the weakness of his time and takes him for everything he can get out of him, knowing all along that he's developing a sham. And I'm going to tell you what happens when he leaves that show and his wife's still not healed. He'll get 1,001 cards telling him he needs to send a little bit more. Put a little bit more seed. Show your faith a little bit more. And they could care less that they've taken their life savings and left them with nothing. They could care less that the whole time it was a mockery and a joke and it was something. Now, I wonder how many of them gets behind the scene and they kind of laugh in their little parties and they laugh at the fools. And how many of them comes and makes merchandise out of the people? The hell of hells is waiting on these people. And you know why they can do it with a straight face? Reprobates. It's one thing about being confused about a little doctrine here and there. It's another thing when you are intentionally covetous and you're making yourself filthy rich off of the weakness and deceit, and you're causing people to blaspheme the Lord because of what you're doing. I've had people tell me, preacher, you should never preach against others. You preach against them. Because they're a bunch of nothing but con people. And the Bible said the blackness of darkness is reserved for them. I don't want to be there when the mist of darkness, Peter says, comes upon them. It's going to be a terrible time. That's why you train your children to come to a church where they can learn sound doctrine. And that way, when they get older and out by themselves, they won't depart from that and won't be swallowed up with every wind of doctrine that be passing by. Because you know what this bunch of characters do? They want to make a feel good. You know why they don't get up here and have somebody sing sometimes without a piano? Rock of Ages. That doesn't move the flesh. You know what they want? They want a bunch of drums, a bunch of instruments, all this stuff, getting a big live. You can feel it. You can feel the vibrations in your flesh. And boy, everybody get there. They get all charged up and they just jumping, hooping, hollering, carrying on. And man, they think they got the spirit. And little they know, they're using seducing spirits. And then here they come with a damnable doctrine and just suck people in. And the Bible says that in that day they will deceive many. That's why when you look, they got stadiums full. And we can't hardly get a house full. But I'd rather be where I am right now than where they are. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Tonight. Ages, cleanse for me. Let me hide myself in thee.